God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. The title of this message based off the gospel reading is the four-letter word. There is a four-letter word in today's society we really do not like to hear. And I really should not even name it from the pulpit. I will admit people try to avoid this four-letter word. And there are some people who even try to have the word completely removed from all worship services. But today I'm going to name this word, so start cringing now. The four-letter word is obey. Now, I will admit, when we hear the word obey, we usually start cringing and we're thinking, oh, I really don't want to hear that word. I really don't like that word. Obey means there's some sort of expectation from me that I need to do. And I would rather be in control of my own time, my own resources, my own self. And for me to obey somebody else, well, obviously you can see how strong my sinful nature is. But we live in the world where sometimes obedience may result in some actions, but not necessarily obedience of the heart. There's a cliche in today's world that says, fake it until you make it. Even though that doesn't necessarily belong here in this message either, because God does know the desires of our hearts. So we can be going through the external emotions, making it seem like we are obeying, but God really knows what's going on within us. So let's just fess up. We don't like to obey. We'd rather avoid it. Like the Bible passage that says, God loves a cheerful giver. The cliche would then add, so give anyway. Knowing that we don't like to obey is the main reason why Christ was sent. We have to remember Jesus the Christ obeyed the will of his Father. He is the one that took on human flesh. The Almighty, the Eternal, now is bound with flesh and blood, now feels, has the same emotions, the same level of pain that you and I, the same type of suffering, even ultimately suffering to the point of death upon the cross. And before that point, prays to his Father, not my will, but your will be done. Our Savior obediently goes to the cross. And the reason why I start this way, and you might be thinking, what does this have to do with the feeding of the 5,000? Well, actually, very little has to do with the feeding of the 5,000. So why is it in the message? Well, it's part of the text. Did you catch right as the gospel reading began, the apostles returned to Jesus and told them all that they had done and taught? So I just back up a little bit. Christ sent them out to the various villages to teach the people, to do some healings, and they obeyed. And you might be thinking, then why is this beautiful text about the miracle of the 5,000 almost going to be completely ignored? Well, let's put it this way. What is the greatest miracle here? Think to yourselves, because very often, at least if we follow the cover of our bulletin, even though these do come from Concordia Publishing House, and it is a beautiful cover, you have the loaves of bread and the fish on the cover, and they say they all ate and were satisfied. And I will admit, our sinful human nature wants to be drawn to this beautiful miracle of how some loaves of bread and some few fish were able to feed 5,000 people. That is remarkable. We do like those extraordinary miracles in our lives, and we want them even to come here at Trinity. But I have to ask, what's the greatest miracle? Wasn't it that the disciples went out and proclaimed who the Christ is? And that there were healings done in Christ's name? Is not our salvation more important than feeding of 5,000 people? Now, I will admit, as we take a look at who we are here at Trinity, and we take a look at our community of believers, You know, we might be thinking, wouldn't it be nice if the Lord would do some special miracle to attract the attention, to attract the crowds of 5,000 people, to bring them here? But I have to ask, what is the greater miracle? And from my point of view, and Scripture supports it, the greatest miracle is not that you are being fed. The greatest miracle is not that 5 loaves of bread were able to be multiplied somehow by God's grace to feed 5,000. The greatest miracle of all is sitting right here in our pews, that Christ has come to us to redeem us. And the problem is, it's not just us, but it's everyone outside of us. We have to realize that the greatest gift of all is that Christ was obedient to the Father and His will. He suffered on the cross. He died for our salvation. He forgives our sins. And then I would say the second miracle would be that as Jesus sent His disciples, they went and then they came back. They told Him all that they had done and taught. The Word of God going out to all people, and the Holy Spirit working through that Word of God. That is the greatest miracle. So sure, our bulletin cover notes the feeding of the 5,000. You're right. That is a nice miracle. But let's not lose sight on why Christ took on flesh and blood. Now for us, in our lives for today, that word obey is going to be coming back, because God calls us to do the same thing, to reach out with His word and His love and share it to a world around us. God has placed you in your own communities, at work, at home, where you have your recreational life, and gives the same command that He gives to disciples: go out. You know what's interesting that's missing here? We don't have the exact words of what the disciples did. We don't know exactly what they did either. And this is good, because what works back then may not work today. We don't necessarily need to be mimicking the exact words of the apostles and disciples. So I'm glad that St. Mark left these words absent, but instead focused upon what they did. They went out, and then they returned. The second part of that obey, so to speak, is to go out, and then also to return. To return to where our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is. And we're doing a good job of that today. Return where God's word is being proclaimed. Return where Christ offers Himself, His very body and blood, for the strengthening of our faith, for the forgiveness of our sins. Return to the place where Christ first put His name upon us through the waters of holy baptism. We need to return to this place, and like the disciples in our text, we need a place to rest, that Sabbath. That is what we're doing here in God's grace and glory. And we need to rest and come to our Lord and Savior and saying, okay, Lord, You're right. You sent me out, and I missed some opportunities. You sent me out, and I was a little shy here and there. You sent me out, and I was a little uncomfortable. And so we come back to where it all begins. Back to Christ. He does not chastise us for our lack of performance. Christianity is not a performance-based religion. It is a gift-based religion. It is where Christ offers Himself for sinners like you and me. We come to rest, to be refreshed and to be renewed, to be strengthened with that word, so that when those opportunities come again, and they will, the Lord can use us as His tools and instruments, just like He used the disciples in proclaiming God's word to the many villages around. So this day, we struggle with that four-letter word, obey. But we follow the example of the disciples anyway, and return to our Lord and Savior for strength. So this day we celebrate that, yes, God has indeed given us many gifts. And we ask the Lord to help us to appreciate those gifts, to appreciate our Savior's obedience by going to the cross, to give salvation to you and me. And we ask the Lord to help us to look for wonderful opportunities to share this grace, because our world, too, is sometimes caught up in the special miracles. They also want to see the feeding of the 5,000 with a few loaves of bread and a couple fish. And fair enough, a miracle is a miracle. I'm there also. But let us not forget the greatest miracle of all, that sinners like you and me are redeemed by the precious blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's what obedience is all about. It stems from another four-letter word, but I will admit we like this four-letter word better. It stems from love, God's love to us, and then through us to other people. Yes, God wants his love to continue to go out through you and me to those around us. But in order for that love to take place, we also must be obedient. Obedient to God's word, obedient to receive that sacrament, obedient to hear our Savior's commands to go out and to share that love and forgiveness. So we celebrate Christ's obedience, and we use that to remind us of what it's really all about, what the greatest miracle of all is, the miracle of our Savior, Jesus Christ, dying on the cross for your sins and for mine. In his name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.